Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Savage Nation, and what a day it is. I guess I'm so happy I have to sit right down and write myself a letter.
I'm gonna write words so, so sweet. They're gonna knock me off.
Supreme Court rules against Obama on recess appointments case. Now, on the face of it, it seems like a minor issue because the average joker out there is watching the soccer game. Soccer, of course, is not really an American sport. It's a South American and European sport. But with the importation of millions of illegal aliens and with the advent of Spanish language radio and television, soccer is everywhere. I'm not watching it. I don't know anyone who's watching it. I don't know a single person who's watching it. But nevertheless, in the midst of all of this, 9-0. 9-0. Look, you're interested in sports. What if a sports team won a game 9-0? Well, America just won a game against an emerging dictatorship at 9-0. And I got to tell you something. A few bright rays of sunlight are coming through the dark sky that is over America. The dark sky that Obama has painted over the ceiling of America. I see a little light. Because this case is a signal to Obama. It's not so much about the case per se. You see, there's timing involved in everything. Why did the Supreme Court remind Obama today that our Constitution applies to him as well? Why did the Supreme Court remind Obama that while Boehner just filed a lawsuit against him to try to curtail his executive overreach, what did the Supreme Court just say with regard to that? They're saying we're going to rule in favor of Boehner. It may take years, maybe after you're out of office, if you ever leave office. But, man, you've overstepped your position. It also says, in my opinion, the Supreme Court is also saying, since he's able to nullify Congress, he's nullified the will of the American people, we're next. Supreme Court's saying we have to maintain our own authority and power over this character because he's out of control. And since he's out of control, stepped on Congress, stepped on the people, we're the last ones left. We're saying no. 9-0 now. And what's interesting here is that the opinion was written by none other than Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan is a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool liberal. You know, it's established law. Remember that one? It's established law. Elena Kagan. I mean, I would have thought that she would have been like 8-7-6. I cannot imagine that Elena Kagan, it's established to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another left-winger, Sotomayor, the most brilliant Latina in the history of the universe. They all joined the conservatives and said no. They said that the President of the United States broke the law when he made three recess appointments to the NLRB when Congress was actually not in recess. See, it was up to Congress to determine when they're in recess. Senate, actually. Senate said, no, we're not in recess. Now, this is shocking, folks. All you left-wingers, you can't lie about this. It was not just by a slim margin. It was by a major. Well, 9-0. It's also a huge blow to the unions, which you haven't heard yet or read anywhere. What you don't know is, I read the case. The unions brought the case to try to sustain the power because they wanted the stooges on the National Labor Relations Board. The unions just took a big blow to the gut. By the way, it was the Teamsters Union that was behind this NLRB appointments thing. So for anyone keeping score, it is shocking to see anyone in government stand up to this emerging dictatorship. And Justice Kagan said, quote, this is not the horse and buggy era anymore.
Settled law.
Okay, thanks, Elena. I have new respect for you. And what I'm saying here is, what she's saying is, this law, giving a president the authority to pass a recess appointment when Congress is not in session or when the Senate is not in session, was written when there was a horse and buggy. That was before the telegraph, telephone, email. The guys had to come back by horseback to vote on things like this. All right, look, if it's an emergency, let the president put someone in there, right? But we don't have to do that anymore. It's not the age of the horse and buggy. That's what she's saying. So what I'm saying to you is, this is a huge win for democracy, a monstrous win for democracy. And, of course, it's strangely enough, the Republicans used Harry Reid's own tactic to just win on this. Harry Reid's trying to spin it like, yeah, he did it for the sake of America. You have to understand that in the spirit of cooperation, I want to remind you liberals out there that pointing out the lies and corruption of Barack Obama, who is the most divisive American president in history to date, is really not a defense of George Bush. And if we're really to save this nation from a total collapse, you really have to get past that. It's Bush's fault. Today's ruling is a win for the citizens of America. It exposes Obama as a ruthless political operative who is hell-bent on getting anything he wants at the expense of our highest ideals and principles. And I don't think anything happens by chance in government. And the timing of this ruling is quite important. Because as I said to you earlier, John Boehner just started saber-rattling about his lawsuit against the president's many abuses of power. And I think Congress and the Supreme Court are in fact awakening, to what a lawless president really, entails. They fear for their own heads. They have finally decided to circle their wagons, to reel in this administration, to reel in Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. Do you feel hopeful today? Do you feel today that this will empower others in Congress, maybe even, God forbid, the media, to stand up to this tyranny? Do you feel differently today, as I did? I couldn't believe what I read. Now, before you get too excited, luckily for you, I know history, and this is something you're not going to hear on any other show. You may hear the technical analysis of this. That's fine. If you like law books, good luck to you. But if you remember history, or any semblance of history, in 1832, yes, the Supreme Court ruled that the state of Georgia did not have authority over the Cherokee Nation. I remember this distinctly. It was a major victory for the Cherokee Nation. But you know what happened? President Andrew Jackson, a dictator, said, now that the Supreme Court has ruled, let them enforce. He didn't actually say it that way. Allegedly, he said, Marshall, meaning the Supreme Court Justice, has made his decision, now let him enforce it. Meaning Jackson was saying, I have the army, the Supreme Court has nothing but pens. That he's the ultimate authority because he had the power of the military behind him. And what happened 6 years later was so heartbreaking. It was the forcible removal of 45,000 Native Americans in the Cherokee Nation from the southeast in Georgia, and their forced relocation to the state of Oklahoma. This was the biggest tragedy ever to befall the Cherokee Nation, and it was known as the Trail of Tears. And it was all because the president at the time did not respect the rulings of the Supreme Court. And you have to study the case to understand that. And as a result, an American Indian hating, lawless president thumbed his nose at the Supreme Court, and 45,000 American Indians paid the price. Now, it's fair to say that only time will tell what effect today's Supreme Court decision will have on the presidency. Will the law fail? Will our highest ideals fail? Will checks and balances fail? Will we allow the nation's highest principles to be subverted by a tyrannical presidency? Well, my friends, John Roberts has made his decision. Now let's see who will enforce it. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on today's huge Supreme Court story, and it's a big story, the phone number is 855-407-2822. There is another story that's very important, and that is it's come out again that ICE knew in advance of the child immigrant surge. They planned it. We have evidence and proof that DHS and Obama were in conspiracy to bring in these, it will soon be hundreds of thousands of illegal alien mothers, children, gangbangers, whoever knows, whatever. And in reaction to that lawlessness of this presidency, an anti-amnesty group has asked Americans to mail gently used underwear to Obama and Boehner. That's right. If you have a pair of gently used underwear, we're going to give you an address for Barack Obama and John Boehner. According to the anti-amnesty group, Americans for Legal Immigration, PAC, they are calling on Americans to mail their, quote, gently used underwear to President Barack Obama and House Speaker John Boehner in response to a government request for new underwear for the recent surge of illegal immigrants being held by Border Patrol. You may think it's a laughing joke that they want 42,000 pairs of new underwear, including 6X large pairs, which means they're not all little children. Some of them are grown men able to carry an AK-47 or a 9. So this group is saying send them their gently used underwear. And they said because D.C. is already full of dirty laundry, just add to it. Now, I can't recommend you do that because that would be considered an act of terrorism. I can guarantee you if you mail underwear to the president, they'll say it's a, what will they say? It's a bioterrorism. Of course, in some cases, if you really are a red diaper dopa baby, it would be bioterrorism.
Settled law.
It would be bioterrorism to mail dirty underwear to the president, so I would not recommend it. Especially coming from red diaper dopa babies who never wash their clothing. They grew up in the hippie era where dirty clothing and human body odor was considered very natural, very hippy-dippy. So we've got a lot of serious stuff to talk about today. And the Georgia thing, you know, it's funny how it came back to me. The minute I saw it, I said, don't celebrate too soon because we had another dictatorship along the way. And that was way back when. And that was Jackson, the president, Andrew Jackson, who said, okay, now that the Supreme Court has made their decision, let them enforce. And so Jackson supported Georgia's attempts to assert state authority over the Cherokee people. And after that, they removed them from Georgia on the Trail of Tears. That's because he was an Indian-hating, racist, SOB pig. And so we've got to be careful because there's been a tyrant before who said, niet, no, nada, to the Supreme Court. And this one's just liable to do the same. You don't know what he's liable to do. And I'm not trying to put ideas in his head. God knows you don't want to put any more ideas in his head. At the bottom of the hour, we have a real surprise. And I rarely have guests on the show for a number of reasons, but that's because I'm too narcissistic and egotistical to have guests, I guess. I mean, everyone, I guess that's what you're accusing me of thinking for myself and talking about myself, analyzing things through my own mind and my own being and my own history. Pardon me. I have a guest on, Jay Sekulow, who actually argued the case before the Supreme Court. You understand that? Supreme Court. Supreme Court is a golf course that I was once on. He argued the case before the Supreme Court. You know, I don't know a single intelligent person in my sphere of, let's say, mental influence who's not lying awake at night worrying about what this tyrannical presidency is doing to this country. Everybody I know who knows what's going on can't sleep at night. They say the world is on fire. He wrecked the Middle East. He started a new Cold War with Russia. He's flooding America with illegal aliens, many of them gangbangers, many of them ill, and no one's stopping him. They're terrified. They feel that we're living in Zimbabwe, or at least in South Africa, and they don't like it. They grew up and they were born in America, and every one of them I'm talking about is a hardworking American. None of them are deadbeat leeches. They're terrified of this corrupt administration. And so today, perhaps, they will feel better. If you want to comment on the Supreme Court ruling, a day of victory at the Supreme Court, before Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, appears, the phone number is 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Oh, the Constitution makes it clear that a president's job is to faithfully execute the laws. In my view, the president has not faithfully executed the laws. We have a system of government outlined in our Constitution with executive branch, the legislative branch.
I'm in radio, my God.
Congress has its job, so does the president.
That's enough. You know, fine. One thing is for sure, he's not going to have a career in television after this is over. Boehner is not taking a job in radio or TV. I never, till he makes a statement, no wonder I'm in radio and he's in government. See, he's thinking about suing Obama. He hasn't actually done it. Very nice. Meanwhile, NASA has found mysterious signal. A mysterious signal that baffles astronomers. Did you hear about this? NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory has found a mysterious X-ray signal that astronomers are speculating could signal the presence of dark matter some 240 million light years away from Earth. Now, why do I throw that in the mix of this? Because although this is all very interesting and it's very political, and we're living in the now, and this dictatorship could go so steroid viral and destroy us that we have to watch it closely. But on the other hand, there's another world out there, a bigger world, bigger world, bigger world out there. But let's get back to simply, you know, the pebble in the shoe rather than NASA finding a mysterious signal that is coming from 240 million light years away. Because the signal that's coming from the Supreme Court is that Obama is absolutely overstepping his boundaries and they're trying to curtail him. That's the signal. That's my opinion. Bill on WBAP disagrees. Bill, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I don't see the Supreme Court solving anything at all. They're dealing with politicians. And the politicians, all they do is represent the public. And the problem is the public, not the politicians. Until we change the public, and the Supreme Court will not change the public. Until the public pulls their head out, you might say.
Well, but Obama's changing the public. He's bringing in a class of third worlders who don't even speak English in order to perennially produce a Democrat socialist America. He's changing the public, all right. That's a far bigger issue to me than the NLRB. So in that sense, I agree with you. But, you know, you may say, okay, it's too little too late. It took 2 years for this to occur. But we live in a land of laws. We're not a nation that settles things like they do in Iraq yet. We're not a nation that settles things like they do in Iraq, comma, yet, period. We don't want lawlessness to rule. We want the rule of law to rule. The rule of law today ruled over the ruler. The rule of law today slapped the dictator on the wrists with a ruler. And they said, no, 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 Barry. Stop reaching for more than you're allowed to. Your mouth is stuffed already with power. You're grabbing more power than you're allowed, Barry. No more, Barry. No one's ever said no to him. Do you know that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm playing rock and roll during the break, trying to feel as good as I feel. Look, if you can't have victory, a feeling of victory today with what happened 9-0 in the Supreme Court, you're never going to feel good in the next couple of years. And we should be celebrating. And the man who did it is with us right now, and Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, represented the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, in this case. He filed a brief on his behalf. This is a major victory for Speaker Boehner and the House itself, because it's a rebuttal of the president's overreach of power, in my opinion. Jay Sekulow, congratulations, and I really mean that, Jay. This is a huge victory, is it not?
It is, and I will tell you, Michael, you said it exactly correct, and I appreciate you having me on. This was a real rebuff of the president for a couple of reasons. Not only was it unanimous, but the decision was by Justice Breyer, not exactly a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. And he said, with regard to these recess appointments, the presidential power, that sure, the Constitution says that you have recess of power, because that's specified in the Constitution, but he said not offering the president the authority routinely to avoid the need for Senate confirmation. In other words, it doesn't give him the authority to just, on his own initiative, avoid the constitutional process. So this was a stinging rebuke.
In other words, they were saying to him specifically, yes, sure you have the power of a recess appointment, but not to use it exclusively as a way of getting around Congress, correct?
That's exactly right. In other words, the Constitution specifies recess appointments, but you, Mr. President, don't get to determine when Congress is in recess. That's the job of the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader under their calendar control, which is specified also constitutionally. So,
Jay, how many cases have you argued before the Supreme Court?
A dozen.
So this is would you say this is one of the biggest rebuttals of Obama's power grabs?
I think, I looked at the cases I've argued over the years, and they've been everything from, First Amendment constitutional law cases to statutory cases. When you get to what's called, in the technical sense, the separation of powers, you've talked about this before, the three branches of government, I can't recall a case, maybe back to the FDR and the steel-taking cases and some of those, But since the certainly since the 1940s, there's never been an opinion that so clearly, crystal clear, said the president overreached here. And I think Justice Breyer actually did a very, very good job of laying out the case.
Okay, so in my opening today, I said we should celebrate, but be careful, because I went back to Andrew Jackson with the Cherokee Nation case, where he said, in paraphrase, now that the Supremes have ruled, let them enforce, in essence.
Right.
And I'm afraid that we might have another such imperial president here. What do you think Obama could do now?
Well, I think the threat that the president has made to use his pen and his phone, this case, although significant, important, a huge victory, as you said, doesn't stop the executive order issue. And I think the president, realizing that he's already lame duck, is going to do everything he can to move executive orders through. And I think that's one of the reasons why Speaker Boehner is saying, you know what, it's time to do a direct challenge against the president's authority there, because it violates the constitutional requirements of Article 1, 2, and 3. Having said that, though, you're right to sound the alarm. I'm not resting and saying, oh, this is, you know, done and we're finished with this. I think we've got an imperial presidency here. And when you have an imperial presidency, they're going to operate by dictate. They're going to issue decrees, and that's what the president's going to do next. You can't use recess powers. He will try other things.
All right, so, Jay, this was also a huge defeat for the Teamsters Union. They were in favor of these NLRB appointments. Can you tell my listeners of the Savage Nation why they wanted these particular individuals on the NLRB?
Because these were three individuals that not only had pro-union credentials, but would literally deny companies the right to operate in various states that are union-free unless they agreed to a union.
So that's what this was all about.
No, you remember the whole Boeing controversy when they were going to put some of their operations in South Carolina? That was part of this. So what
yes.
you have here is 1,000 orders that the NLRB issued when these three were on there are now null and void.
Holy God.
For this, yeah, it's huge. Now, does that mean the president's not going to try other avenues? I think that's the thing you got to look out for here. A vacuum is not a good thing either. So they've been stone silent on it today. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Again, I want to alert my listeners to for another time, which is the Worcester versus Georgia case way back when, because Andrew Jackson is the president who said to the Supreme Court, allegedly, Marshall, meaning the Supreme Court Justice, has made his decision, now let him enforce it. And so what he was saying was, you don't have the army, I do, and I'll do what I want. And then he did what he wanted, and unfortunately for the Cherokee Nation, shortly thereafter, 45,000 Indians were moved out of their homeland from Georgia to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears. So there are huge ramifications when a president oversteps his authority, aren't there? I mean, really, Jay, this is a big deal.
Actually, pointing to the Cherokee Nation case is right, because in that particular case, it was argued by the famous Supreme Court lawyer and well-known Daniel Webster. I mean, this is one of the leaders at his time. And the president still said, basically, too bad. I think the reality is here. I think the country is not going to just take this stuff anymore. And I think we've reached a tipping point where, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens Monday when they get that decision in the Hobby Lobby case, because that could be another stinging rebuke to the president, overreaching, you know, going after the nuns. I mean, it's you know, some of the stuff that they've decided to do is just nonsensical. But having said that, I'm with you. I am worried that even with these great decisions of the Supreme Court, that the president might view this, hopefully not, but might view these as advisory opinions, not binding. That's the thing that I always get nervous about. Any kind of decision like this comes down. Not that he's going to be able to make the recess appointments. It'll be something else.
It'll be something else, because that's the Alinsky method. Continue to overwhelm the system as he's doing with the border, et cetera. But, Jay, before we move on to the next important question here for you to answer, and again, I don't want to lose the victory that you had, and I don't want to lose America's hope that you've given us. As I said at the beginning of tonight's show, there's a ray of sunlight coming through the dark skies that Obama has painted on our rooftop. And I think this is a huge change, not only for the case itself or the case per se, Jay. My opinion is that nothing happens in politics by accident, and that the Supreme Court chose this very time to rule on this case to send a signal to Obama that, A, the buck stops with them. They're not going to be steamrolled the way Congress has been. And number two, they're saying that we'll probably uphold Boehner's moves against you, because we've had enough of this imperial presidency. Is that a possibility?
It is, because the way that Justice Breyer, I mean, so clearly articulates, and this is somebody that's probably sympathetic with the administration on policy matters, but not process. I mean, when the president says the clause should be, when the court says the clause, talking about the recess appointment clause, should be interpreted as granting the president the power to make recess appointment during an actual recess, but not offering the president the authority to routinely avoid the need for Senate confirmation, I think that's exactly what you said. The message going back to the White House is, be careful of what you're asking for, because here nine justices, the most liberal, the most conservative, said you don't get to do this. So I think this could be a bit of a check. Whether it's checkmate or not, I don't know, but it's a bit of a check on the chessboard here to the administration. How they'll respond to it will be the interesting thing, and I think is the thing we have to keep our eye on the most.
Jay, your organization, I want people to understand that you have a nonprofit, the American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ. Is that not a nonprofit organization?
It is.
You rely upon donations, don't you, Jay?
Right, from people all over the country.
Well, can you give us a website? Because I want my listeners to really put their money where their heart is and send some money to your organization. I mean, we've got to back those who are fighting for us.
Right.
How would they do this, Jay?
ACLJ.org. It's that simple. ACLJ.org, and there's a donate button right in the corner of on the homepage, or they can go to Facebook also. But ACLJ.org is the easiest way to go.
So you're the opposition to the Anti-Christian Liberty Union.
Yep.
I know you don't want to get involved in that one. So the ACLJ.org. I think I made a donation a few years ago. Yeah. I know I did.
I appreciate that. Yes, we don't forget. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to make another one. I really am. I mean, what's money for? What's money for? I don't need to go out and buy 12 watches to give out to friends. I'm not Bill Clinton.
Well, he didn't have any money when he left the White House, remember?
They were broke. I know. They were flat broke. They really were.
And Mike, I want to ask you something here, because you've said this, and I think you're right. I'm hopeful. You've got a great audience that people understand. I'm not taking away from the victory either, but this is a victory. Tomorrow, it is the next fight. I mean, you can't just say, oh, we won, it's done. I mean, it's like when this decision came out and we got the victory, it was 9-0. You know what I told our team here? Next case. Because that's what we better be worth.
Of course, you're fighting a machine that's relentless. I know how leftists work. They have a vendetta against our freedoms, frankly, and our nation itself, in my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. They are on the fast track to steamroll us, to crush this country, and to take over every aspect of government, almost in a manner that's irreversible. That's why they're trying to plant so many left wingers into so many places. I know they've done it in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, which are lifetime appointments. So even if we get a more rational government after this one, there are operatives that he's planted in there that we're never going to get rid of, Jay.
You know, there is the sense that we have not three branches of government, but four. You've got the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and then the bureaucratic. And you could get to a point with all of the planting of people in these bureaucracies that basically the presidency doesn't matter anymore, and you become just like Europe. And it's, you know, you could have a conservative prime minister of France or Germany, or a conservative or a liberal. It makes no difference because the bureaucracy is running everything, and we are running that risk in our country right now, actually.
Mm. Again, folks, if you really feel as good as I do today, even if it's just a glimmer of hope, ACLJ.org, okay? Send some money. You'll feel good about it. Jay is the real McCoy. Jay, how many years have you been doing this?
35.
Holy God. You've argued 12 cases.
Yeah.
You've been chief counsel for this organization. You've been chief counsel for this organization for 35 years?
No, I was in private practice for years, and then I became chief counsel of the organization almost 25 years ago. So it's been a long time.
Unbelievable. But you sound like you have as much energy as I do.
That's the idea.
Maybe even more than I do, and because you really believe in what you're doing, don't you?
I do. But my grandfather came to the United States through Ellis Island to leave persecution, and his grandson gets to argue cases before the Supreme Court of the United States. A pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, today with Obama, he'll take people over the border who don't speak English and put them on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
If we're not careful. Without even going to the first grade, he can make them Supreme Court justices like Pol Pot. But let's not get carried away with humor here. Jay, would you like to take a question or two from my incredible audience here for the next few minutes when we come back from the break?
Great.
All right, listen, folks, maybe this is too dry for you and boring, and maybe you just want me to talk about something else and tell jokes and play music, and I can do that. This is such a big story. It's so enormous, a 9-0 defeat for Obama, first time in his administration the man has been rebuked. It's like a nun slapping an unruly child on the wrist and saying enough with the overreach. If you care to comment, if you have a question for Mr. Sekulow, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Unanimous decision, 9-0. Supreme Court struck down Obama's recess appointments in the most stinging rebuke in the history of this man's life. I can guarantee you he's never been rebuked like this, ever. 9-0? It's not 8-1. It's not 7-2. It's not 6-3. It's not 5-4. The liberals can't fall back and say, oh, those nasty conservatives, if only, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is a Supreme Court which in its entirety said he overreached, he stepped around Congress, and you can't do that. And it was, strangely enough, the lead justice on this, I think, was Elena Kagan, who was as liberal as they come. Joining us again is the man who did it, Jay Sekulow of ACLJ.org. Send a donation. Jay, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Could you put him back up, Neil, so I don't press the wrong button? Jay, welcome back. No, this is a big day, so we have loads of callers with questions and very little time, as you can imagine. George on line one. George, what's your question for Jay?
Yes, I just wonder if this would be enough to impeach Obama. If not, what would it take? Because we've got 2 years to deal with this guy. He's still got a lot of time to give you a lot of crazy things.
I don't think so, Jay. What do you say?
Yeah, no, he doesn't reach the level of impeachment. It was a constitutional interpretation. Impeachment has to be high crimes and misdemeanors. And these are statutory interpretations, constitutional interpretations. This is where elections have consequences, but it's not impeachable.
And that's how clever they are. They know how to do things step by step in their march through the institutions. I know that. I have been around leftists, so I had been around them when I was younger. I know how sneaky and how, by the way, how intelligent they can be. So
yep.
This is not let's never underestimate the level of intelligence of Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the Four Horsewomen of the Apocalypse. They're extremely intelligent in their maneuvers. You would agree with that, Jay, correct?
Yes. I mean, no, you're absolutely right. These are, you know, some people say they're naive. They're not naive. They're very calculating, very smart. It's just
yes.
A very different worldview of how the government's supposed to operate.
Yes. They're very smart in knowing how to subvert the Constitution, how to take down a nation. Very smart indeed. I only wish they used some of their genius to control the head cutters in the Middle East. That would be real nice if they took some of their vitriol and applied it to that. But that's my problem, not yours. All right, let's go. This is a great question next. Roman on line 9 is calling from Fort Lauderdale on FTL. Roman, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I just want to tell you I enjoy your show. I listen every day. Question I have is, what happens to the appointments that our bystander-in-chief made with those individuals?
All right, Roman's asking a key question.
Yep.
Do the folks who are appointed, who are in place, what happens? Do they get fired? What happens next, Jay?
Appointments were deemed invalid, which means they're not appointed, and the decisions that were rendered by the NLRB, which was almost 1,000 by then, are null and void because they were not a properly constituted board. So their appointments were null and void as if they were never on there. So there never was a quorum. There was never enough people. The NLRB basically didn't function during this period.
So you mean these guys go to work on Monday and there's nothing for them to do?
Yeah, they can't. Their decisions post during this period, they're gone. Now, I don't know if one of them have gotten through on a non-recess appointment, but their position during the time of the litigation, the three of them, everything that they did, they are as if they were never there. So they're...
Holy God. Well, Jay Sekulow, all we can say is thank you very much for fighting for the right things here. It's a true day of victory at the Supreme Court. ACLJ.org, and I especially want liberals listening to send money to an organization that fights for you, not for any specific side of the aisle. Jay Sekulow, thanks again. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, I think there is a case against the president for exceeding his authority. I happen to agree with the president on many of his priorities and policies, but as I testified in Congress, I think that he has crossed the constitutional line.
So what the president has said is, I'm going to leave the door open to working with Democrats and Republicans to make progress, but I'm not going to wait for Republicans to try to find some common ground. I'm going to use the authority that's vested in the presidency of the United States to take action on my own.
Not a king. Not a king. King Obama gets slapped down by the Supreme Court 9-0. Now, you wouldn't know it from him because he's the most arrogant president you could ever imagine. I mean, another leader would say, you know what? Maybe I overreached. Maybe I disagree with the Supreme Court. But we can live with it because we believe in a separation of powers. But not him. Oh, no, he's at a town hall meeting right now mocking his opponents. Not mocking ISIS, not mocking the headcutters, not mocking those who were kidnapping boys in the Kurdish region of Syria and turning them into headcutting monsters. No, instead he's mocking those who believe that global warming is a crock of dirty underwear, mocking anybody who stands up to him on anything. That's all he's good for. You know what I figured out over the other night? Here's what came to me. The reason we have trouble with this guy is because he was never made to be a president. He is a superb community organizer. It's all he knows how to do. Now, if that means ushering in a million or 30 million illegal aliens into your communities to skew the vote forever, hey, that's community organizing. He doesn't give a rat's you-know-what about America. All he cares about is organizing the communities that represent his doxy, his points of view, his left-wing points of view. So with regard to his orientation, which is community organizing, he's superb. But he's not made to be the leader of a nation where there are disparate elements and disparate opinions and a multiplicity of goals and aspirations, but more importantly, a single constitution. He doesn't give a damn about the Constitution or the people. He cares only about community organizing for his left-wing fanaticism. That's why the world is falling apart. He is incapable of being a world leader, let alone a national leader. All he is a community organizer. It's all he ever has been. And he doesn't know how to stop. And that's the danger we're in. See, the bad part of this story is that's why we're in danger. We have an out-of-control rogue community organizer who seized the reins of power and is literally taking the team of horses into a cliff, over a cliff, into a sea, and he's taking us with him. Only he wouldn't know that because his four horsewomen of the apocalypse advisors are exactly on the same cart with him. Now, today we had a victory, a temporary victory, 9-0. 9-0, day of victory at the Supreme Court. In the last hour, we had Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice, who argued the case before the Supreme Court, and he argued it successfully. And he said, as I pointed out, be careful, because I pointed out that we've had another president, at least one in the past, who also didn't like what the Supreme Court did. And he said to them, now that you've made your decision, rule. He said it in a different way. This was way back when, in 1832. You may say, okay, I just went to sleep. I'm a modern person. I have an iPhone. I don't care about 1832. That's dead America. That's old stuff. Well, let me tell you what it was. It's a simple case. It has to do with the Cherokee Indians who had lived in this area that became the state of Georgia for millennia. The Cherokees had lived in that area for millennia, what, 20,000 years? And all of a sudden there was a ruling by the Supreme Court that said the state of Georgia in which they were living had no authority over the Cherokees living on territory held by the Cherokee Nation. So they were in favor of the Cherokee Nation having their own sovereignty. That's what the Supreme Court said. The Native Americans have their own sovereignty. Well, the president at that time, Andrew Jackson, was a dictator. And after Supreme Court Justice Marshall read the Supreme's decision, President Jackson said, Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. Now, I remember that this morning when this came down. It stuck with me now all these 30, 40 years. Because what it was an example of a power mad president who said, I have the army, you have nothing. And I never forgot that. He was saying power comes out of the barrel of a gun, like Mao Zedong did a long time after 1832. Remember Mao Zedong, the murderer, the mass murderer that caused the death of 60 million of his fellow Chinese? Because he instituted policies that are in many ways like the policies we're seeing emerge here in the United States of America. You heard me. I'm a student of history. And Mao Zedong said power comes out of the barrel of a gun. Now, what President Jackson was saying basically was, the Supreme Court has made their decision, now let them enforce it. You hear this? Now, that may not be the exact remark, but what we're saying is power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And what happened as a result was this Indian-hating president wound up afterwards, years later, that 45,000 Indians living in the southeastern United States were forcibly removed from Georgia on a trail of tears and sent to Oklahoma. Many of them died on the trip. He hated the Indians. And so that's why he dismissed Marshall's decision. So the moral of the story is, this is not over yet. We do not know. Me with the nuts again. I ate nuts again during the break. When am I going to learn? Why do I do things that are bad for me? I'm a broadcaster. Why do I go for nuts during the break? And then I cough and gag on the nut. I don't understand this. Okay, no more nuts for me.
Settled law.
It's set a law that there's no more nuts. Thank you, Elena Kagan. It is set a law that there's no more nuts for Michael Savage. I was looking at my dog under the desk as I broadcast here. Teddy, with the big ears, the poodle, toy poodle. He's no toy, jumped in the bay again to try to rescue somebody, but he don't know how big he is. Try to rescue a 240-pound ocean swimmer. He's 10 pounds, go figure. But as he sleeps underneath my desk, I realize something. God gave poodles big ears, you know why? So they could sleep during the day without having to put in electric shades on the windows. I mean, just think how wonderful that is. Teddy, you don't know how lucky you are. God gave you one suit of clothing and one pair of shoes for your whole life, and you never have to go shopping again. Our clothing, we have to mail to the White House when it gets worn out so we can give them to the illegal aliens. And we have, we want to sleep during the day before a radio show. We have to pull the shades. He doesn't. He lays down and the ears go over his eyes. But to get back to the business at hand, we're talking about the victory today. And there's another big story. To me, it's a far bigger story, which is the decimation of our nation by the flood of illegal aliens that Obama and the chairman of the Department of Homeland Security, God knows who else, Cecilia Munoz, in my opinion, from La Raza, are doing to us. And I believe this. See, if we sued on this now, take 2 years, it'd be a fait accompli, and he knows this. So we need something more than a lawsuit to stop this. We have to stop this. We have to stop this flood now. And I don't have the power to say the National Guard should go to the border. I do not. I don't have the power, do you? No, we need about 1 million Americans on the border, linking arms, singing, "You Shall Not Overcome." Instead of singing, "We Shall Overcome," we should link arms on the border and sing, "You Shall Not Overcome," and not let them into this country. Period. End of story. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not when we have such a corrupt administration and such a corrupt Republican Party. By the way, in cahoots with them on this, because the business community is dictating this like insane people. Like insane people, as though two-year-olds are going to work in their hotels changing toilets, cleaning toilets and changing laundry. What do you mean they're coming here to work? They're 2 years old, some of them. But let me go back to this. How do you feel today about this 9-0 ruling? How do you feel about this? There's another story or two that I think are worth mentioning. Big, big ruling today. New York's highest court refused to reinstate New York City's ban on the sale of big sodas. Remember that stupid ruling by dummy Mr. Blumenberg, whatever his name was, Blumenberg. I don't remember his name. Blumenberg, Blumenthal, I don't know his name. The billionaire genius who said that people who like 16-ounce sodas are worse than ISIS, worse than headcutters because they like big sodas. So, of course, New York City banned the big sodas. And they said, oh, you could buy 2 8-ounce sodas for more money, but you can't buy a 16-ounce soda. Just shows you how kind they are. You know, it's mainly poor people who buy the 16-ounce soda. By the way, dummies, this is something that guys who drink out of Jeroboam's, of course. If you drink a Jeroboam of wine in your mansion, of course you want dummies, not in your mind, poor people, not to have 16-ounce sodas. It offends your sense of taste. Your upper lip curls as you swirl your wine and look down from your towers in Manhattan or you get into your limo as you, step into your limo, and you see a plebe down in the street slurping a 16-ounce soda, it turns your stomach. And so if you're Bloomberg or one of his friends in New York, naturally you want to ban a 16-ounce soda. It's not for the sugar. It's for the classlessness of it. They don't like the slurping. They don't like the container the way it looks. And so they banned the soda. Well, anyway, whatever. They said today the Board of Health engaged in lawmaking beyond its regulatory authority. Sound familiar to you? Did you hear this? New York Supreme Court ruled today that the Board of Health engaged in lawmaking beyond its regulatory authority. That sounds very much like the opinion against Obama by the U.S. Supreme Court. So maybe, just maybe, Supreme Courts are starting to become activists again and starting to assert themselves so that executive branches don't run all over them and the rest of the people. What do you think? You have any opinions on any of this? On the soda or the... I'm not interested in the soccer game. I don't care what happens on the soccer field. It's not my sport. A, I don't like sports of any kind. None. The only sport I really can watch at all is either boxing or Ultimate Fighting. And I don't even like Ultimate Fighting, even though I was deeply involved in... Let's just leave it alone. Not as a fighter, of course, but I don't like it anymore. I don't like the blood all over the mat. I don't. I'm not into blood sports. And that's why I like politics, because it's such a clean sport that's not a blood sport. Yeah, right. Sure. All right, WABC in New York. We haven't heard from you in a while. I guess you've all been listening to the Yankees game or something. Gene, welcome from ABC. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Doc.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind, Gene? Fire away.
Well, this interview with Jay Sekulow is another reason why you are the fastest-growing radio talk show. You are the two...
I haven't grown an inch since I started. What do you mean fastest-growing? I'm the same height I've been for years.
Well, there's another way to look at the Supreme Court ruling, and it's with no disregard for Jay's work, because we admire that and his courage, and your courage, because we know the kind of courage it takes to speak out against this despot in the White House.
But hear, hear, yes, speak out against the despot. Speak out and be heard against this community organizer, yes. But why do you not feel optimistic today?
Well, I think it trades off of something you said in your interview with Jay, and you talk about the cunning of this group and how supremely intelligent and devious they are.
Thank you for acknowledging what I said. I don't like people who don't like their politics to think that they're somehow less intelligent than they are.
Well, I think
this is the most cunning group of left-wing fanatics that have ever invaded the White House and taken such power to themselves. They're extremely ruthless and extremely clever and extremely intent on doing whatever they want.
So everything's a game. In other words, this Supreme Court ruling 9-0 was the communists on the court, that is Elena Kagan, Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg, and Sonia Sotomayor, the hard communists. They rolled over because they knew this was going to go the right way anyway, and they're building up their statistics because the grand prize is the upcoming Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage, and this country will go down in flames in that
Oh, you mean that's going to go the other way. I see that's going to be a reversal, and then they're going to have some credibility that they're fair. I get it. All right, we're flat out of time. It is almost 20 minutes after the hour. If you want to call on this or any other topic that's grating you, 855-407-282, more rock and roll and politics right here on the very, very educational and entertaining Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Aren't there lyrics to this, The Poor People of Paris? I was thinking about when I was a little kid. Okay, it's enough already. I'm going to... AAA forecasts 41 million people planning July 4th vacation. AAA forecasts 41 million people planning July 4th vacation. 41 million people. I'm not going to be one of them. Traveling at least 50 miles or more. You know how much gas costs compared to how much it cost when Obama took office? No, there's no inflation. I love that one. No, there's no inflation. Take a look at your gas prices. They're schmendrix. They have no idea what's going on around them. Bill Clinton was the first trickster who removed fuel and food from the cost of living index. I wrote about it in Trickle Up Poverty. Remember that one? He juggled the books. But yeah, Hillary, another shining light on the sea. Another shining beacon of hope is Hillary Clinton. Oh, man, we can't wait for another 8 Clinton years. Whoa, that would be terrific. Yeah, we can't wait. They juggled the books. There was runaway inflation during Clinton's years, but he already juggled the books, took out from the cost of living index, the cost of fuel and the cost of food. So suddenly there was no inflation. That's how he cured Carter's problems. So now we have a guy, it says there's no inflation. Take a look at your housing prices. That's the real inflation. Your real estate in your city is the mark of real inflation. It's not just mere speculation driving real estate prices. It's that people are panicked over the real inflation. Look at the cost of meat, poultry, fish, right? Look what it costs to buy a shrimp today. Even a humble shrimp, a steak, $32 I had to pay for a steak a couple of weeks ago in a restaurant, and that was a bargain. I told it to a friend of mine who lives in L.A. He said, you only paid $32 for a New York steak? I said, only? What do you mean only? He said, oh, in L.A., they're like $52. Because, the reason I'm playing the poor people of Paris on the Savage Nation is because when I was a poor kid, this song used to play in my head over and over again. I identified as like a schlepper poor guy riding the Q44A in Queens, the subway, dreaming. I used to ride between the subway cars because I couldn't take the stink of the subways and how my raincoat smelled as I came home from work.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
See, another song of my youth. The poor people of Paris, rags to riches. I used to dream about climbing out of poverty. I knew no one would do it for me. I knew someone would stand in my way at every step. I knew there was no government. No Aunt Sam. There was no Aunt Sam waiting to help me. Whatever. Now they want to take from me and give it to the bums and the interlopers. All right, whatever. I'm seeing that police departments are becoming militarized with combat vehicles and combat equipment being given to local police departments. Like, what for? So then I went on the government liquidation site, and I actually want one. I want an MRAP vehicle for myself to go to dinner with. What fun. It'd be better than a new Bentley or a new Rolls Royce. Can you imagine rolling down the street in an MRAP? Rolling over the Golden Gate Bridge? Man, that's the way I roll. I'm in an MRAP, an armored car. No, I'm on the government liquidation site. I can get boots, like army boots. Boots on the ground. I can get army underwear. Hey, there's an army crane. Look at that. Look at the things that they sell. How does this work? I don't get this. Aircraft parts. Can I buy a used F-16? Do they sell the activated F-15s? Or like, I even take a Saber jet from the Korean War. Look, here's a heavy... No, I don't want a big plane, a small plane. I want an aircraft part. What if I buy an F-15 in parts? They really selling this stuff? Are you kidding me? Advanced search. I'm going to try this. Neil, go on the site for me and see if I can buy an F-15. A whole plane. This is what the government's selling? Okay, categories. Here we go. Guns through 30 millimeter. Guns over 30 millimeter up to 70 millimeter. You're kidding me. Are you kidding? Chemical weapons and equipment is on the government liquidation site? You're joking. I swear to God. Look what I just stumbled on. You could buy a gun over 120 millimeter. Stop it. Let me just look at a regular gun thing and see what they're actually selling. Okay, then you hit search. Okay, aircraft fixed wing. How do I search now? I hit fixed wing. I go down to search. Okay, search. Let's see what comes up if I can buy an airplane. Put it on my roof. Out of stock. They're out of stock on aircraft. Ah, darn it. They sold them all to the ISIS organization through John McCain. Damn, I was going to buy some F-16s or parts anyway. But apparently John McCain gobbled them up for his the rebels in Syria. Hey, where is John McCain? You notice he shut his mouth? Remember I was commenting weeks ago that you couldn't get up for 1 minute and not see that old maniac talking about Syria every day, send weapons to the rebels, the rebels were the cause, they're good rebels, not bad rebels, we want you to send weapons to, there he was every day, from MSNBC to Fox to CNN, then he was back in the Senate babbling on and on and on, he wouldn't stop. And I was commenting, the guy has manic energy, I don't know what he's on. you know, maybe it was the Valley of the Dolls. Maybe a container was left over from the wife or something. But this guy just didn't stop. Now, all of a sudden, John McCain is nowhere to be heard. Why? You know why. I'm an observer of things. As much as a commentator is, comments on things that are obvious, like the Supreme Court ruling, it's the little things that matter that separate the talk show host from the disc jockeys. John McCain is nowhere to be seen. You know why? Because someone's liable to ask him, wait a minute, Senator McCain, weren't you saying we should send weapons to the rebels? Well, now that they've captured Humvees and tanks, and they're trying to take over Syria, and they're cutting people's heads off and executing prisoners, how do you feel about that now, Senator? How do you feel about that, Senator? Something tells me he's on a long vacation somewhere. Maybe he's considering opening that Buick dealership in Tibet that I mentioned a number of years ago. Wouldn't be such a bad idea as a retirement. I don't want to talk about the other thing anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm bored. I'm tired. Let me see what sound I have. I want to move on. Oh, here's one. Do you remember the other day, I think Monday, I called Neil Cavuto the biggest moron on Fox News? I said, of all of them, he's the stupidest. I don't know what it is. I have a sixth sense of what's going to happen. I swear to God, there is a, you know, like people have remote viewing capacities. They can predict, they can see. Well, I have it in some regard. I'm not exactly a psychic, nor am I a psycho, but I sensed that Neil Cavuto was the dumbest man in the history of television. And I sensed also that he would go off the rails shortly, and he did the other day. He had Michelle Bachmann on, and I want you to hear what Neil Cavuto, who was the dullest pencil in the Fox package, did with Michelle Bachmann in clip one. Neil, please.
The American people are absolutely outraged, and the question is, what is it that we can do? Has the president overreached with his power? Absolutely he has. What are the tools available to the United States Congress to help enforce the separation of powers doctrine? In other words, the Constitution is a stop sign for the president, as it is for the Congress, as it is for the Supreme Court. You can't do anything you want. Now,
yeah,
there
but
what
is making Republicans, man, no sexist comment there, now? I mean, if this has been going on for a long time, and to be fair to you, Congressman, you've been bemoaning it for a long time, why now the suit? But by the way, we're going to get back in legal, you know, broadsides back and forth. Why not just fix things that are very, very wrong now, rather than dragging someone to court over whether they overstepped their bounds? It just seems to me like an enormous waste of effort.
Well, the lawsuit is what you might call a long-term effort if it even gets picked up by a court. A lot of courts might call this a political question. This could drag on for months, and we may not get anywhere. Again, it reflects the frustration of the American people.
But you just said it, Congresswoman. We might not get anywhere. Now, maybe Republicans are in their right. Maybe the president's within his right. But if the issue is, you know, one side or the other abusing his authority, maybe so much it gets to work under the underlying problems that some feel the other side is usurping from it. But we spend too much time arguing, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, we're going to indict you on this. We're going to go back and forth.
Dummy.
Whatever's wrong right now, rather than dragging the other side to court. It just seems to me there's so much wrong here.
Go open a pizzeria somewhere in Bronzeville.
We're going to do this. Just do something. Putz. You know what I'm saying?
Let me go where you're going, and I agree with you, because
it's
this is what
place.
We need to do.
Hey.
This is
yeah,
what
it is
Congress
a dark place.
Can do, and I argue
swamp
must
you.
Do. Number one, we
why
need to
didn't
deny
you do it?
You've seen Neil Cavuto?
Years ago when you
see, he's against suing the president.
Give me a second, and I will tell you.
See, Neil Cavuto, the nice guy. Must have been off his meds that day. So he attacked Michelle Bachmann for supporting the lawsuit against the president that John Boehner is initiating. And now this tells you something more about Fox News that you really probably don't want to know. And look, I don't gain anything by attacking them, but the thing is, they're the only thing we got, and they do a fairly good job. But we know that Murdoch's in trouble with a potential jail sentence because of alleged hacking in England. We know the government has him over a barrel. Look, you don't know the inside of this story, and I don't know all the details. My suspicion is Rupert Murdoch's an old man and a very powerful man. The government now has him in a twist. They can do what they want with him. They are probably telling him behind the scenes, look, man, either you back off the president and you have your stooges like Neil Cavuto support the president or else. And so, and I've noticed Cavuto's the first one to usually do the bidding of Murdoch. He's the easiest one to manipulate of the pack. The rest of them, some of them have integrity. This one doesn't, in my estimation. And I don't know the man personally, but he looks like the kind of guy who would have been much happier if he stuck to his practicing his meatballs in his mother's house and then maybe went downstairs from the apartment once in a while to run his father's pizzeria. He is so way over his head, it's frightening. But let's move on, because I don't think you want to talk about the dumbest person in the news. Maybe you do. Let's move on in the sound bites that we've collected for you on the Savage Nation. The Supreme Court ruling we did already. The suing Obama we did already. Now let's move up to clip five. We only did three. Boehner's lawsuit won't change Obama's approach to executive orders. Boring. Oh, here's Obama mocking anybody who doesn't buy into the big lie of global warming, or excuse me, climate change. Listen to clip six of the mocking president.
It's pretty rare that you encounter people who say that the problem of carbon pollution is not a problem. In most communities and workplaces, et cetera, when you talk to folks, they may not know how big a problem, they may not know exactly how it works, they may, you know, doubt that we can do something about it. But generally they don't just say, no, I don't believe anything scientists say. Except where?
Everyone laugh now.
In Congress.
Everyone laugh now. Daddy Obama just told you to laugh. Come on now, laugh card comes up. Anything scientists say? Well, I believe in the scientists who say you're full of, you know what. You know, the dirty underwear is showing. There's a lot of scientists who don't believe in this garbage, and they know it's a power grab like everything else you do. Listen to now. He goes on and on. He doubles down, as the community organizer will do in seven.
In Congress, folks will tell you climate change is a hoax or a fad or a plot. It's a liberal plot. And then most recently, because many who say that actually know better and they're just embarrassed, they duck the question. They say, hey, I'm not a scientist, which really translates into, I accept that man-made climate change.
You know what? I can't take it anymore. You're a liar. You're a filthy liar. I'm sick of it. If you had any decency, what you'd say is the science is not in, but I think that man is responsible for it. But you're nothing but a community organizer. And you're a huckster. You know, if Obama were a preacher who went around on the 10th Circuit 50, 60 years ago, and he did revival meetings, and people, you know, like a Marjo, if you saw the story Marjo many years ago, it was a very fine independent movie. That's what I think of him. He's nothing but a huckster, a backroom huckster, goes around with tents, revival meetings with stupid people who laugh at the cues. This is not a leader. A leader says, look, many people don't accept the science. I would like to prove it. I will tell you that I've read all of it. I've even read the skeptics. But I think that even if there is no definitive proof that we would all agree that we have to rein in pollution and we're going to do it, but we're not going to do it by devastating our coal industry. We're not going to do it by devastating our fossil fuels industry. I want to make sure that the American economy first is protected, that it grows, before I start experimenting with the opinions of some of the scientists who I happen to agree with. That would be leadership. But when you have a man like Barack Obama and you have a man like Eric Holder, these are the untouchables, but there's no Elliot Ness. I want to hearken back again to the 50s. It was a seminal age in America. I grew up in that age. And there was a very important television show called The Untouchables. And it was about Frank Nitti and the Chicago mob. And they were the Untouchables. No one could touch them. They took over the police department. And no one could touch them. And then the federal government created a new division, a new bureau, to go after these people. To go after the Untouchables, and that was it was called Elliot Ness. He was the guy we believed in, the lawman who went after, despite great odds, the Untouchables. We don't have that anymore. We don't have it. He owns the lawmen. He owns the FBI. He owns the HS. He owns the NSA. He owns the CIA. That is not how it's set up to be. Just as the Supreme Court today ruled against him 9-0, we now have to see the agency stand up to him, because there are good men and women inside the FBI who know what's going on. They're as terrified as you are over this man's power grab. They're as terrified about Eric Holder as you are, maybe even more so, because they know more than you do about what he's doing. And they can't say a word, because they'll lose their jobs, they'll lose their pensions. They understand that. But there are armies of people working for this man who detest his policies, who fear him. for fear of what he's doing to this country. And they're not heard because the untouchables have not been touched until today. I'm trying to tell you something. The encouragement that the Supreme Court justices may initiate as a result of this 9-0 action could have deep ramifications that are felt for a very long period of time. This may just encourage others to stand up to this group of untouchables. Do you agree with me or not? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And what is occurring by this administration luring these children into America by the promise of a free pass once they get here, there are children that are suffering and being hurt, being lured here to their detriment. Now, if they get here successfully, that's a different story.
Yeah, well, I get it. But he also said stop luring licensed, scabies-ridden immigrant children, which apparently wasn't in that cut. And that's true. I don't know why it's not in there. It's supposed to be in there. But God bless Louis Gohmert. At least he's speaking out against the invasion. I'm on a military site. I can buy an F-5, an F-5A for $1.6 million. Toughest plane in the world. My friend's dad was a 200-mission pilot in Vietnam. Wonderful man. He died a number of years ago, Mr. May. Very famous man in military circles. I hope his widow is listening, but he flew these, and these are rough planes to fly, according to them. Here's an F-5 Freedom Fighter for only $1.6 million. How do you like that? What every man wants for Father's Day. I can put it in my backyard. Can have a tailgate. I mean, this would really be some tailgate party to start those afterburners. Yeah, barbecue with steak on the afterburner. How much would an F, a jet from Korea? They'd be a collector's item, though, by now, you know, like a Sabre jet. That'd be nice to have on my roof. What a view I could get up there. Could put the plane on my roof and use it as like a rooftop deck. Go up there with a beer or whatever. Anyway, look, we're talking about all these sound bites. We have Pelosi. Oh, let's play Pelosi in clip 9 because we need our laugh for the day, Neil. Let's have clip 9 from Nancy the Jokester Pelosi.
There really needs to be an adult in that room of the Republican caucus. I hope the speaker is that adult. I trust that he is. I have great respect for the speaker.
Well, we don't have great respect for you because Boehner finally showed a little timid move towards against the imperial presidency. Now, let's go back to the imperial president where he's pushing the big lie about global warming. And listen to what he says in clip 8. It is so telling. Neil, please play 8.
I mean, I'm not a scientist either, but I've got this guy, John Holder. He's a scientist. I've got a bunch of scientists at NASA, and I've got a bunch of scientists at EPA.
Did you hear what he just said? I've got a bunch of scientists. He owns them. They're not scientists. They're stooges. None of them are independent. He says, I've got a bunch of scientists. You have any idea what this man is saying? He owns them. I've got them. They're stooges. They'll do whatever I want. No, there's no imperial presidency.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you have to be a little bit crazy to run for president, let me just put it like that, because you have to be so totally immersed and so convinced that you can bring something to that office.
Yeah, they sure had a great marriage, Hillary and Bill. So she says you have to be a little bit crazy to run for president. You have to be so totally immersed and so convinced that you can bring something to that office. And then she goes on and doubles down on her, "Aw, shucks, I'm doing it for the little people," in clip 17. Let's listen to this.
I mean, I've had people come through the line who tell me their stories about losing their job, about what's happened since they got health care that has helped them, and I hear this. So I know that my life of service is the biggest reason why I would consider doing this, because I would want to continue serving.
Serving. She's a servant to the people. She's not doing it because she's a power-mad lunatic or because she wants to lord it over the world. No, no, it's a life of service. Servitude. She's seeking servitude. Now she doubles down from the doubling down in clip 18. Listen to this now.
But I also know that it's a very hard job, and it's a job that you know, you have to be totally consumed by, and that's kind of the definition of being a little bit crazy, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in it, too. I mean, look how well you've done as a result of the presidency. And Bill, he's done very well indeed. I know that you are like the missionaries. You set out to do good, and you did very well indeed. I get that, Mrs. Clinton. Yes, indeed. You set out to do good, and you did very well indeed. Now, once again, I believe Bill Clinton is trying to undermine his wife. Right? Remember that went on years ago? He's doing it again, I swear to God. Her greatest vulnerability right now is the wealth issue, where she lied about they were poor and they were broke when they came out of the White House. Everyone knows it. That's like a laugh line now on late night television. So Bill comes out, and instead of saying we were poor or we weren't poor, he says he gave away 14 expensive watches just because he could. And what is he doing that for? To show she's a liar. He's undermining her. You don't see this. I do. Clinton laughs about splurging on 14 watches. Listen to clip 21.
But I don't know how many you bought, Mr. President. 20, 30 of these watches, whatever it was.
My group did. I bought 14 of them that month.
Oh, you really did?
Yeah. In two different runs. I bought 5 at Christmas and 9 when I was there, and I just give them away and hope that I'll make you more customers.
So Bill Clinton brags about buying 14 expensive Swiss watches just to give them away. Now, why do you think he did that now? Because it puts Hillary's statement that they were broke when they came out of the White House and that they're poor, just like normal folk who live in a trailer. You know what I'm saying? Are you still here? Where's my audience today? Where'd you go? I mean, I got the calls. Is everyone already on the July 4th job or watching some ball game? Where is everybody? I had a wonderful first hour. It was a home run. We had the man who wrote the Supreme Court opinion, argued it before the Supreme Court, and won today 9-0, Jay Sekulow. And then no one's here anymore. They already turned the show off. I think they went already on vacation. They're in their trailers and their whatever they're driving. They're on their vacation already. Everyone's on vacation. How does everyone have so much time for vacation? Everyone's on vacation in America all the time. Wherever I go, everyone's drinking, eating, laughing. No one's working. Well, it's true. I don't see the people working. They're in the buildings working. Or they're doing something. Or the ones I see in restaurants are not working. Very, very proud. 100-year-old World War II veteran gets his high school diploma. Well, that should be useful for him. In the next world. Think about that. 100-year-old World War II veteran to get high school diploma. That should go a long way in his future. That should help him get him a step up. What do you want that for? New Mexico World War II veteran graduates from high school 71 years later. Holy God. I don't know. I'm a believer in higher education myself. I have so much of it. And I don't diminish education. I love it. But today, I don't know. Unless it's in a science or law, we need is another lawyer, or medicine. I mean, we really do need new doctors and good ones. I will not go to I'm sorry, I'm like the Meyer Lansky character. I don't trust a doctor who doesn't speak English. I will not let them touch me. They may be very bright in their homeland, but I'm sorry, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear they went to the University of Bangladesh, and they came here and did a quickie and got the degree in there in the emergency room. That's the way I am. Thank God I haven't need to. I have not needed too many doctors yet thus far. It'll change soon. Soon as the transfusion tree, I know it's coming. I've been lucky so far. I know. I've been mocking those and all. You know, this is it. I've been very lucky in my life. If you look at my body, again, it's narcissistic, I admit, and self-indulgent, but I'm so sick and tired of politics that I'm sorry. It's time for me to talk about myself. The body politic and I are one. I'm serious about it. I have only one, I had one operation in my life. I was 5, I had a tonsillectomy. I swear to God. Would you believe it? You know, every time I go to a doctor and they don't look at you, of course, they look at the wall and look at your chart. You're sitting there shivering on a on like a leather or leatherette, whatever, naked, shivering, waiting for him for an hour in like a paper robe. Paper robe. I mean, there's new meaning to the word robe. Paper robe. I won't even undress in the doctor's office. They make me sit there so long. I'm in for skin stuff. I put my clothes back on. I get undressed for the nurse, and then I put the clothes back. Well, she told me to put the paper thing on, so then she leaves. I get dressed again. It's so cold in there. But the doctor comes in. He looks at the chart, not at you. He looks at the wall. Well, let's see, Mr. Savage. What's wrong with you today? I said, why are you looking at the wall? I'm over here. He's looking at a wall with a pen. And How many medications are you on? None? Wait a minute. How could you not be on any medications, man? Look at your age. No medications. I've been on vitamins all my life. I eat well and drink a lot. I take a lot of garlic. I bicycle every day. I play with my dog. I have a sardonic sense of humor. I'm very successful. So what I'm saying is I've been very lucky so far. I noticed the emphasis on so far. You think I don't know what's coming tomorrow? When I joke about where are they today and I say they're probably in Boca Raton with a transfusion tree. I don't mean it in a mocking way. I mean, you know, but for the grace of God, there goeth I. I know what's coming. You think it's a bargain if you live long. Oh, yeah, I'm going to all live long. To the last day, 100 years old, I'll get my degree, and my high school degree, and I'll just pass away in my sleep. No, it's not that way. Normally, you die in agony. Horrible. Alone in a nursing home, suffering. You're pushed into a corner facing a curtain by yourself. Your relatives don't want to see you anymore. And the illegal aliens who take care of you beat you about the head and neck so that the bruises don't show, and they rob you of the small change that your family may leave you. That's it. That's what waits for you. That's it. Always bold, always winning, champion for America's borders, language, and culture. The Savage Nation. Maybe I could create a conservative nursing home and hire the people who work in for like 20 years from now. I don't even want to think about it. 100-year-old World War II veteran to receive high school diploma in New York. All right, it's a touching story. Extra spending, 100-year-old World War II veteran in the same ceremony as his great-grandson. George Hulka, Jr., called Papa, was drafted in 1941, served as a combat infantryman in the Army fighting the Nazis. Good for him, great man. Bronze Star recipient. We're going to get his high school diploma. I don't know why. I don't understand why he would want it. You mean he was poor and he couldn't go then, and now it means, all right, I could get it. I believe in higher education. I mean, in real learning. I don't mean in women's studies or ethnic studies or in basket weaving, you know, or in community organizing or environmental law. Undergrads in environmental law. I'm in pre-law and environmental law. What's environmental law? Well, I don't know, but it really sure. I meet a lot of girls saying I'm in environmental law. Hulka was being wheeled to a room for surgery after breaking his leg 2 days before his 100th birthday. I don't know. I don't know what's waiting at the end of the tunnel. Who knows? Talk about things like this. Where am I with the news now? Veteran could lose home over American flag. Prenups getting a social media makeover. What is this? Interrogations underway for Benghazi attack suspect. Prenups getting a social media makeover. Let's talk about prenups for a minute. I haven't done that, I don't think, ever in the history of my radio show. A prenuptial agreement. I was told by somebody in L.A. that they're worthless. They say that couples are adding a new social media clause into their prenuptial agreements. What does that mean? What's a prenuptial clause? What? A social media clause into their prenups. He told me that in L.A. it's not good enough for you to have a lawyer present. She has to have a lawyer present. During a prenup hearing, both he and she have to have lawyers. And even those are nullified now. Would you believe it? How could you nullify an agreement? I don't even understand what the prenup says. What does it say? That everything that you own prior to the marriage is yours. And in the event of a divorce, she gets nothing. Unless you agree to it now, right? But how does that work? So in other words, let's say you get married, whatever it is. And he's worth, let's say, $500,000, and she's worth nothing. I'm just giving an example. So then they buy a property together, and over time, the property appreciates in value. So obviously, the appreciation would be split. I understand that. But how do you penetrate a prenuptial agreement and say it's invalid? On what basis? Now, I remember the famous case of Mel Gibson and Oksana, whatever her name was, in my opinion, the gold digger of gold diggers. Remember that one? Oh, my God. You know, you talk about that. He was so crazy amour fou with her. He had some amour fou with her, boy. It really worked out well for Mel Gibson. How did that work out, that hot passion? That really worked well for Mel Gibson, didn't it? Crazy for the younger hot Russian, right? That really worked out well. Sure, once she had the child. Oh, yeah. The relatives came in from Kiev. They settled on the sofa, but I mean, that didn't work out too well. I don't know, the whole thing of romance and love. Can romance still exist in this world? That's what I want to know. You want to call on this? Is anyone listening to this? I see lights. They're dimly lighting on my Telos board. They're lit, but they're not. I have a certain eighth sense with radio. If I see the lights suddenly flash faster, even though it's not really happening, I imagine it is, I can tell you're excited. Right now, I can tell the audience is diminished because they're on vacation. I don't know how. I have a sixth sense. Do I have anyone on any prenup? Is there a lawyer out there who says it's said a lawyer? Is there a lawyer listening to the show who can explain prenups and how you can penetrate them and burst the veil of a prenup? There must be some vicious lawyer listening from Bolt School of Law or NYU or... Oh, I have good news for you. Wait a minute. No, I have very good news for you. This is for the third hour audience only. The stations who left can't get it. Remember I told you that I'm working on my archives going back to 1963, all my writings and all my audio tapes going back to 94. It's a tremendous archive that I have, journals and this and that. It's a very important archive. I found a home for it. UC Berkeley snubbed my lawyer. You know what I say to UC Berkeley? Go pound sand. I found a real university, not a politically insane group like you. And I'm going to tell the people where it is shortly, the minute I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I don't know how we're doing this. I guess we're talking about prenuptial agreements because Hill and Billary came to mind. And, man, if she had a prenup, she'd be in much better shape than she is today. Wow. All those watches would have gone to her, I guess. Dave on KCMO Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation on the prenuptial agreements. Go ahead, please.
So, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but I am a law clerk. I'm actually in law school. And we actually just covered prenuptial agreements at the end of the last semester. And they're really, really, really sticky, nasty arrangements where unless you can prove unconscionability within the contract or that you are in a position of no bargaining power, there's really not anything you can do to invalidate a prenuptial agreement.
Well, I would hope so. It's a contract. But someone in L.A. told me that the current method of arranging a prenup is that both sides must have a lawyer present. Is that correct?
That's mostly going to be jurisdictional.
We're talking about high-powered marriages, and he also said that they have to be videotaped, that there has to be a record of the actual hearing and this and that. I mean, we're not talking about the low-end marriage here. We're talking about the big-money marriages. Lawyers must be. Two lawyers, videotape, and they still penetrate the prenup.
That's interesting.
All right. Well, I'm not saying I know more of the law than you do, but you know it from the law school point of view. I'm giving it from the practical. Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, not Louisville. Louisville is a penitentiary, I think. Oh, no, Lewisburg. Lewisburg. I think I knew that kid in high school. Lewisburg. I wonder where he is today. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Louisville, Kentucky. It's an honor, Dr. Savage, and this is my wedding gift. I am getting married tomorrow. And
Yes. Let's have a piece of wedding cake for Mike from Lewisville.
Yes, yes. There is true romance. I am on cloud nine. I'm about an inch off the ground right now, and I'll tell you, the beauty of
you mean you're in love with your fiance. You don't need a prenup. You know it's going to be great.
That is correct. That is correct. I'm a previous groom of 18 years, and she was married prior to that 15 years, and the entire issue that we have as far as our bond is, the beauty of it is it's faith based, and God is right in the middle of it.
Wow, that's nice to know. That's beautiful. I mean, to walk down the aisle knowing that there's a spiritual connection, I think, makes all the difference, Mike.
Absolutely. The foundation, her, and she's conservative. Her son is conservative.
Wow. Oh, you hit the lottery here.
It's out of the park, as you say.
Life is wonderful the second time around.
Yes, yes.
The second time. So how many children on each side, Mike?
Okay, I've got three, and she has one. He's 17, and mine are 13, 14, and 17, and they get along just fine. And
unbelievable. So you have a real instant family. You're all going to live together, I assume? You're all going to be in one house?
Yeah, well, she has a home. She's selling hers, and we're going to consolidate into mine, and I just really...
Well, this is a little different. I mean, this is a stable, I would have to say, Christian-based marriage. This is not, you know, a Hollywood marriage with a young girl from Russia, okay? It's a little different.
Right? Correct.
I mean, you didn't pick up someone, you know, on a book like Marry a Russian Bride or Marry a Thai Bride. You didn't look on the internet for your wife, right?
Absolutely not. No.
All right. Well, that's different. I don't think you need a prenup. But in those cases of, what is this? What's playing behind me now? Oh, yes, it's me and I'm like Fats Domino.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, the Constitution makes it clear that a president's job is to faithfully execute the laws. In my view, the president has not faithfully executed the laws. We have a system of government outlined in our Constitution with the executive branch, the legislative branch.
I'm in radio, my God.
Congress has its job, so does the president.
That's enough. You know, fine. One thing is for sure, he's not going to have a career in television after this is over. Boehner is not taking a job in radio or TV. I never, till he makes a statement, no wonder I'm in radio and he's in government. See, he's thinking about suing Obama. He hasn't actually done it. Very nice. Meanwhile, NASA has found mysterious signal. A mysterious signal that baffles astronomers. Did you hear about this? NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory has found a mysterious X-ray signal that astronomers are speculating could signal the presence of dark matter some 240 million light years away from Earth. Now, why do I throw that in the mix of this? Because although this is all very interesting and it's very political, and we're living in the now, and this dictatorship could go so steroid viral and destroy us that we have to watch it closely. But on the other hand, there's another world out there, a bigger world. Bigger world. Bigger world out there. But let's get back to simply, you know, the pebble in the shoe rather than NASA finding a mysterious signal that is coming from 240 million light years away. Because the signal that's coming from the Supreme Court is that Obama is absolutely overstepping his boundaries, and they're trying to curtail him. That's the signal. That's my opinion. He's bringing in a class of third worlders who don't even speak English in order to perennially produce a Democrat socialist America. He's changing the public, all right. That's a far bigger issue to me than the NLRB. So in that sense, I agree with you. But, you know, you may say, okay, it's too little too late. It took 2 years for this to occur. But we live in a land of laws. We're not a nation that settles things like they do in Iraq, yet. We're not a nation that settles things like they do in Iraq, comma, yet, period. We don't want lawlessness to rule. The average joker out there is watching the soccer game. Soccer, of course, is not really an American sport. It's a South American and European sport. But with the importation of millions of illegal aliens and with the advent of Spanish language radio and television, soccer is everywhere. I'm not watching it. I don't know anyone who's watching it. I don't know a single person who's watching it. But nevertheless, in the midst of all of this, 9-0. 9-0. I look, you're interested in sports. What if a sports team won a game 9-0? Well, America just won a game against an emerging dictatorship at 9-0. And I got to tell you something. A few bright rays of sunlight are coming through the dark sky that is over America. The dark sky that Obama has painted over the ceiling of America. I see a little light. Because this case is a signal to Obama. It's not so much about the case per se. You see, there's timing involved in everything. Why did the Supreme Court remind Obama today that our Constitution applies to him as well? Why did the Supreme Court remind Obama, while Boehner just filed a lawsuit against him to try to curtail his executive overreach, what did the Supreme Court just say with regard to that? They're saying we're going to rule in favor of Boehner. It may take years, maybe after you're out of office, if you ever leave office. But, man, you've overstepped your position. It also says, in my opinion, since he's able to nullify Congress, he's nullified the will of the American people, we're next. Supreme Court saying we have to maintain our own authority and power over this character because he's out of control. And since he's out of control, stepped on Congress, stepped on the people, we're the last ones left. We're saying no. 9-0 now. And what's interesting here is that the opinion was written by none other than Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan is a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool liberal. You know, it's established law. Remember that one? It's established law. Elena Kagan. I mean, I would have thought that she would have been like 8-7-6. I cannot imagine that Elena Kagan, it's established law. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another left-winger. Sotomayor, the most brilliant Latina in the history of the universe. They all joined the conservatives and said no. They said that the President of the United States broke the law when he made three recess appointments to the NLRB when Congress was actually not in recess. See, it was up to Congress to determine when they're in recess. The Senate, actually. The Senate said, no, we're not in recess. Now, this is shocking, folks. All you left-wingers, you can't lie about this. It was not just by a slim margin. It was by a major, 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 well, 9-0. It's also a huge blow to the unions. What you don't know is, I read the case. The unions brought the case to try to sustain the power because they wanted the stooges on the National Labor Relations Board. The unions just took a big blow to the gut, by the way. It was the Teamsters Union that was behind this NLRB appointments thing. So for anyone keeping score, it is shocking to see anyone in government stand up to this emerging dictatorship. And Justice Kagan said, quote, this is not the horse and buggy era anymore. What she's saying is this law giving a president the authority to pass a recess appointment when Congress is not in session or when the Senate is not in session was written when there was a horse and buggy. That was before the telegraph, telephone, email. The guys had to come back by horseback to vote on things like this. All right, look, if it's an emergency, let the president put someone in there, right? But we don't have to do that anymore. It's not the age of the horse and buggy. That's what she's saying. So what I'm saying to you is this is a huge win for democracy, a monstrous win for democracy. Strangely enough, the Republicans used Harry Reid's own tactic to just win on this. Harry Reid's trying to spin it like, yeah, he did it for the sake of America. You have to understand that in the spirit of cooperation, I want to remind you liberals out there that pointing out the lies and corruption of Barack Obama, who is the most divisive American president in history to date, is really not a defense of George Bush. And if we're really to save this nation from a total collapse, you really have to get past that. It's Bush's fault. Today's ruling is a win for the citizens of America. It exposes Obama as a ruthless political operative who is hell-bent on getting anything he wants at the expense of our highest ideals and principles. And I don't think anything happens by chance in government. Because as I said to you earlier, John Boehner just started saber-rattling about his lawsuit against the president's many abuses of power. And I think Congress and the Supreme Court are, in fact, awakening to what a lawless president really, you know, entails. They fear for their own heads. Tens of thousands of Obama's children from Central America are being ushered and flown into the United States instead of being flown back to their country of origin. Back in January, our DHS and ICE were trying to get contractors to get ready for taking these illegals across America in order to dump them on cities and towns across the country for reasons you can pretty much figure out by now. The evidence is there for anyone wanting to look at it. Texas is standing up to them. And you want to hear something interesting? Baltimore, which is about as Democrat as you can get in this country, it's as far left Democrat as you can get, refused to permit them to dump illegal children on their doorstep. And that's because the city fathers, who were pretty tough, understood that the working class whites and the working class blacks would go crazy if they dumped another poverty population on them. They said no, they didn't want them. California was supposed to get a few airplanes full of them. California just said no. Who wants them? The answer is nobody. And the answer is, I'm sorry, but the lifeboat is full. I'm sorry, but we have veterans waiting to be served by doctors. We're not going to put children from Honduras ahead of our veterans. I'm sorry, we have people with cancer. We have people on welfare in this country who are barely getting by. Why should you put children and women from Honduras and Guatemala ahead of them for social services, unless you want to overwhelm the social service network, which is what Obama is obviously trying to do? Not all waves of immigration are the same. Not all immigrants are the same. Not all nations of origin are the same. The times are different. My grandparents wanted to become Americans. Maybe they spoke Russian at home, but when they went outside, they wanted to be Americans. So I don't know what that has to do with race. I think it has to do with attitude. How in the world can we take in an unlimited number of people? Who's going to pay for their health care? Who's going to pay for their jail care? Who's going to pay for their legal care? Who's going to pay for their housing? The answer is the rest of us are, and that's why we're going broke. The world is burning right now. The border is being overrun by now. Muslims are killing by the tens of thousands. They're raping women. Churches are burning. And all they care about is gay marriage. All you hear about is LGBT and gay, 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 gay. The world is burning. Do you understand what this obsession is doing to the world? That some of the brightest and most motivated people in our country are obsessed with only one thing when they should be screaming about the decimation of innocent people in the Middle East. Instead, they're screaming about LGBT and gay marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So that's why I don't want to talk about it. I said I could prove it. I don't want to prove it because I just did. So don't call me on it. I know how you feel about it. New England mayors call for refugee resettlement freeze. Democrats are saying no. Obama's saying yes. Axelrod saying yes. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse are saying yes. So that's why I want to talk about free will. A new study came out from the University of California, Davis, which is a fairly fine university in the sciences. And they said that they found that decisions could be predicted based on patterns of brain activity. And that free will could simply be the result of background noise in the brain. That we have no free will. Now, I don't believe that. I believe we have total free will. I remember when my first child was a baby, and he would smile. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was on the university campus at the time, and the progressives were already starting their march on the world. And when the baby would smile, they would say, he's not smiling, he has no emotions, it's a conditioned response, he's burping. I said, get out of here, you're out of your mind. So I already saw the Nazism inherent in the left back then, just in their perceptions of a baby's reactions. The left are the new Nazis of our time, make no mistake about it, which is why they're silent on the issue of Islamofascism, because they actually like them. They think it's a good role model for them to take over America. But let's not get too dramatic about it. I want to talk about free will for a minute, because many people don't believe in free will. They believe God controls everything. Then you may as well not live. How could you get up in the morning and live if you believed you had no free will? If you believe God controlled everything you did and everything that happened to you, then what's the point of living? Then you're not living. You're an automaton. I happen not to believe that. I never believed that. I always knew I had free will to do anything I wanted, good, bad, and indifferent. I knew it was all up to me. Remember I quoted Shakespeare something, things happen to us along the way. We learn from things we hear in school, from the gutter, from a parent, from a doctor, from a minister, from a rabbi, from a dentist, whatever, a doctor. So we're all influenced when we're young by various, you know, statements and events that happen to us. And I remember in high school, I was sitting dozing off, looking at the girls' braids in front of me. I didn't want to listen to any of the speeches. I just was interested in how the braids looked. I found them far more organized and orderly than the principal himself. And then suddenly he said something. He said, Shakespeare wrote, some men are born great, some men achieve greatness, and others have greatness foisted upon them. I knew at that moment that I was not born great. I knew that I'd never have greatness foisted upon me. And I knew that if I ever achieved anything at all, whether it's great or not, it would have to be done by me. Nobody was going to give it to me. Now you look at Obama. Which of those three is his? He had greatness foisted upon him. He was handpicked. He was selected from very early on by very powerful forces, in my estimation, almost like a secret candidate, going all the way back to when they first found him. And he had greatness foisted upon him. I'm not underestimating his intelligence, don't get me wrong, but he didn't get here because of his genius. He didn't get here just because he's the brightest man on the planet. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, well, look, this is a day of victory for America, never mind anti-Obama. This is a victory for all Americans. 9-0. 9-0. The Supreme Court ruled against Obama's power grab. Now, it's true. It took 2 years. Now it's true, it's a kind of minor case on appointments, recess appointments. But there's a bigger message. A few bright rays shone through the dark skies today. The dark skies that Barack Obama has brought upon America and the world. There's a ray of sunshine. 9 justices stood up to this monster and said that the President of the United States broke the law when he made 3 so-called recess appointments to the NLRB. It is shocking. This was not a 5-4. It was not a 6-3. It wasn't a slim margin. You can't argue it's the right wing. You can't argue it's a gridlock. This is also a huge loss for the unions because the Teamsters were behind the NLRB appointments. They wanted their stooges on the National Labor Relations Board. After all, cheap labor is the NLRB's stock and trade. It is shocking to see anyone in government stand up to this dictator of ours. And surprisingly, it was Justice Kagan. Justice Kagan, the liberal who said, this is not the horse and buggy era anymore. There's no such thing as a recess where you can just throw appointments in. Now, all you good liberals who secretly listen to the Savage Nation, I want you to understand what's at stake here. The Supreme Court saw that the way Obama was running over Congress, they were next. My analysis is they as much put this ruling down today, which is surprisingly a day or two after Boehner brought a lawsuit against Obama, as a signal both to Obama and America that enough is enough from this petty dictator from the Chicago wards. Enough is enough from this community organizer who is organizing the death of America. And they said no. Just say no to this man. Because they felt that if he could do it to America, he could do it to the people, and he could flood the borders with illegal aliens, he could bring war to the Middle East without any consequences, step on Congress without any consequences, why soon he'd be stepping on the Supreme Court. So they said no. See, it goes far beyond this ruling. That's why it's a huge victory for democracy. There's a glimmer of hope in the dark skies. I'm not saying it's over. Don't get me wrong. One thing I know about dictators is they don't give up too easily. No, sirree, Bob. No, sirree, Bob. That's one of the major stories. There are so many others that I would have you just simply listen to a replay of my show to see and hear what you're going to hear on other shows right after I'm off the air. God bless America and good night.
Savage.